Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verses 1 through 5 is what we'll read first. If you would and can stand, please do so. Otherwise, just follow along there in the scriptures. 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Remember, before you can have the peace of the Lord, you must have his grace. We're saved by grace. Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the salvation that we have through Jesus Christ. And Lord, we pray that we will walk worthy of that gift, that unspeakable gift, that precious gift of eternal life. Bless those that are here today. Lord, protect us and keep us in the hollow of your hand. In Jesus' name we pray, and with thanksgiving, amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Again, in 1 Peter chapter 1, we'll begin reading at verse 6. Yes. Verse 6, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, and whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. This letter, or an epistle, was written by the Apostle Peter toward the close of his life, circa AD 60. Due to the phrase found in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 13, that being the church that is at Babylon, elected together with you, saluteth you, there are those that believe Peter was in the city of Babylon, while others believe that Babylon is a derogatory name for Rome and that Peter was in Rome. Personally, I believe the former, the city of Babylon, where a Christian church had been established. It was intended principally, though not exclusively, for Hebrew Christians, for those of the Jewish faith, those that had been converted. It was written for two purposes. First, to show that Peter agreed with Paul's teaching. And second, to strengthen and comfort God's people who were passing through fiery trials. May I say this? To be a Christian in the first century was a very difficult thing. You know, today, Christians receive, some mocking. There are those who are not real happy with those of Christians who stand for their faith and believe that Jesus Christ is the one and only way into heaven. They will say that we are intolerant. They will say that we are bigots. But may I say this, what we are is we're Bible believers. And that we need to be Bible believers. And may I say this, our enemy wants us to stop preaching the Word of God. He doesn't mind people getting together for worship if God is not invited. But he should be invited. He should not be like the church of Laodicea, where he is outside knocking on the door to be invited in. We want to make sure that our Lord is always invited and that we want him to be here. We find it's a book of comfort. In fulfillment of our Savior's exhortation and commission, Peter was told, "But I pray for thee," Jesus talking, "that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted or turn again, strengthen thy brethren." And Peter was trying to strengthen his brethren. And so he wrote the epistle to comfort and strengthen his brethren as they passed through times of sore trial and bitter persecution, by filling their minds with great thoughts of God and of his salvation. May I say this? I believe the Bible from Genesis 1:1 to the end of the book of Revelation. I believe that we can believe the word of God when it says that in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. Because I believe the Genesis God of 1:1 is also the God of John 3:16. That he loved us and sent his son to die for us that we might have eternal life. There in verse 1 of this chapter, strangers. It could mean the Gentile converts, or it could mean all converts, as we are strangers in a world of unbelievers. May I say this? We are different. We should be different. We should desire different things than the world desires. Yes, we live in the world and we are part of the world, but we are not to act like the world. We are to be different. For Christ was holy and we should strive to be like Christ. Dr. Vernon Rosenau, president of the Baptist Missions, writes, quote, "Some of God's choicest servants and leaders in the Central African Republic, because they refuse to let difficulty stop them from serving God. They do not know how to quit," unquote. They do not know how to quit. They don't give excuses. You know, too often we have excuses as we why we don't do things for the Lord. We're bothered by somebody, or we're bothered by the songs that are sung, or we're bothered by the fact that they take an offering, and we have some excuse. May I say this? That excuse won't hold up in heaven. And he writes, they do not know how to quit. And then he ends with this, "I am writing to challenge each of us to not grow weary in well-doing. May I encourage you, remain strong if for the cause of Christ until the Lord calls us home." We don't know when that's going to be. I was talking to a missionary that our church has supported for a number of years in Moldova, Paul Hamilton. And he was going to come and be with us in July, but they have found out that their daughter, Brittany, 27 years old, has ovarian cancer. 27 years old, has just gotten married. You know, we know that there are times that difficulties come, but we shouldn't allow excuses to keep us from serving the Lord. And he's going to come in August because they're going to start doing some treatments on his daughter. He asks your prayers for Brittany. May I encourage you, remain faithful no matter what is coming your way, because you don't know what lays around the curve. You don't know if right now you don't have cancer in your body. What if you find out you do? Is that a reason to quit? No. You don't know what's going to be around the corner. It could be that place you've worked for many years tells you we are closing or we are merging and you won't have a job after X number of weeks. You know, we have things that come our way. We find in verse 8 about unspeakable joy.
But there are two other times in the New Testament that talks about something that is unspeakable. If you would quickly to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, if you would please. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and we'll look at verse 15. The word unspeakable means unutterable, indescribable, inexpressible. Something that is unspeakable. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15, we find these words. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. His unspeakable gift. Now, I'll be honest with you, through the years, I have given to my wife any number of gifts. I'm sure that some of those gifts that I gave her, she probably looked at and said, oh, well, have you ever given a gift like that? Oh, well. And it gets put in some drawer and forgotten, and she's smiling. But then I have given her some gifts that I just think are fabulous. And she has said, oh, well, he tried. I remember one time I gave her a gift, and I won't tell you what it was because she liked that one. Which she likes most of my gifts, okay? You do like most of them, right? I don't want them to think you don't like my gifts or that I'm a really bad gift giver. But for illustration, I have given you some gifts that really were doozies, right? Not too many. She's being really nice right now. But I remember I gave her a gift of some jewelry. I understand women like to receive jewelry. I heard two yeses, so okay. And a woman in our church, when she found out that I had given her some jewelry, told Donna, he should have given you a vacuum cleaner. Right? I mean, that's what she said. That's what she said. But you didn't want the vacuum cleaner. No. You know, the fact of the matter is this. Gifts can be special, right? They can be really nice. But have you received that unspeakable gift? That gift that only God can give you? That Jesus Christ was willing to pay for with his precious blood? That gift of salvation? I'm going to tell you this. I am glad that my parents introduced me to that unspeakable gift. I'm glad that at a young age, I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. May I say this, if you have never received that unspeakable gift, you can receive it today. You can receive it. That unspeakable gift that Jesus Christ gives us. But a gift is something that you must receive. You can leave it on the table and never open it. I've told you the illustration of being at a Christmas time where a gifts had been given by the father to his sons. But the father had not taken the time to come to the Christmas party. And so there the gifts sat. And when his sons left the house, where did the gifts remain? On the table. They said they didn't want them. See, there are those who say, I know that a gift is being offered, but I am not interested. How sad. But Jesus Christ has offered you the gift of everlasting life. If you would, chapter 12 of this book, chapter 12, just turn over a page. We'll look at verses 1 through 4. Unspeakable words. Unspeakable words, they are words about heaven. You ever wonder what heaven's all about and what it's going to be like? I've had people ask me, do you think my cat will be there? No. I just lost half the people. No. Verse 1. Paul is speaking. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. Paul continues, I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. Such and one caught up to the third heaven. You may remember that the apostle Paul, who is writing these words, had been stoned. And folks, when they stoned somebody, they knew how to kill them. And it's believed that Paul actually died from that stoning, but the Lord wasn't done with him. Because if you remember, Paul had been told, you'll have to go to Rome, and he hadn't gone to Rome yet. Verse 3 says, I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, that it is not lawful for a man to utter. Paul was not given the liberty to tell us what it's like there in heaven. But they were unspeakable words. But then, if you would, back to our text there in 1 Peter chapter 1, we find unspeakable joy. What brings you joy? How many of you like a really good pizza? Is that all? The rest of you really don't like a good pizza? Wow. How about lasagna? Okay. How about a vegetable lasagna? Maybe some of you are vegetarians. No? A couple of you, can you raise your hand? Yeah. How many of you like a gift card to your favorite stores? How about one to Golden Corral? Yeah, that's good. You know, we find that there are things that bring us joy. Wouldn't you think if the Detroit Lions got to the Super Bowl, it might bring some joy to somebody? We were there in the Upper Peninsula. When I say we, Rudy and I have just returned from the Upper Peninsula. We spent a few days hiking and seeing some waterfalls. And I saw two people come into the motel to have their breakfast where we were at. And they both were wearing Cleveland Browns sweatshirts. And I thought to myself, wow, someone that knows what it's like to be a rooter for a losing football team. But this is the year, folks. If you're a Lion fan, this is the year. There is no joy in Mudville. Mighty Casey has struck out. How come every time I hear that, I think about the Detroit Tigers first baseman? But joy. What brings you joy? My wife and I will go away for a day or two, and somebody will be watching her dogs. When we get into the garage and the garage door has been opened and we drive in, almost instantly we can hear Casey barking. And then we get into the laundry area where they are kept when we are gone. And the Bandit and Oreo and Casey are all jumping on Donna. They're all excited that she has come home. She brings them joy. You say, what about you, Pastor Paul? Would they really like it when Donna comes home? I came home yesterday. I don't think they even said hello. But anyways, may I say this. We can have unspeakable joy. Chapter 1, verse 8 says, whom having not seen, yet love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. All of us at one time or another have been given the opportunity to have this unspeakable joy. But not everybody has accepted it. Not everyone has been willing to take that unspeakable gift that brings us unspeakable joy. But I'd like to look at verse 7 for a moment. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. That the trial of your faith, we're talking about those that know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Those that are trying to live a good and godly life. Those that are serving the Lord faithfully. When they go through a trial of their faith, how will they handle it? And how is our faith tried? I'll give you 4 examples in the time we have left. Like Job's, by prolonged adversity. See, Job had a day in which he lost everything, including 10 children. The only thing that he was left with his wife. And she said, curse God and die. I can understand her anger. She's lost 10 kids also. But Job kept his integrity during this time, in which he was questioning the Lord, why is this happening to me? Well, sometimes we are going to go through the trials and our faith will be tried. Will we remain strong only when everything is going in the right direction, when everything is good? May I say this? Bad things happen to good people. Bad things happen. I remember when my mother found out the first time she had cancer. Now, I'm going to ask you a loaded question. Was my mother a good person or not? I'm glad that none of you said no. Well, she went through cancer not once, not twice, but 3 times. But through it all, she kept her faith. I remember when they put her in hospice care over here at Henry Ford Hospital on 19 Mile Road. And the woman came in to talk to my mother about being in hospice care. And did she understand what that meant? And was she prepared? And my mother began to give her testimony of her faith in Jesus Christ. And the woman who had come in to give comfort to my mother was now crying. See, how strong is your faith when you go through the hard times of life? How strong is your faith? When our trial of faith is like Abraham's, where there was a call to sacrifice. Most of us don't like to sacrifice, do we? And most of us do not want to have to give up something. We always want. But Abraham was willing to sacrifice. He was put to the test. Are we willing to sacrifice for the Lord? Got a letter from one of our missionaries, Daniel Coates. Excuse me, Brother Childs. Let me get the right man. Brother Childs in Papua New Guinea. And in Papua New Guinea, the public schools have every Wednesday religion class. Can you imagine that in America, having religion class? And so what they do is they have invited people of different faiths to come to a school and to give their doctrinal beliefs in the public schools there in Papua New Guinea. And so they had asked Brother Childs if he'd be willing to come and share the faith of the Baptists. And so he said, sure. And so he had gone in a few weeks, and each week he was telling about the faith of the Baptists. And he said his class began to grow, and he was pretty excited about it. And one day he got there, and nobody else showed up from any of the other faiths. And so they gave him the whole school, all the teachers, all the students, on a Wednesday to be able to share with them Jesus Christ. How's that, folks? Now let me ask you, why are the Childs in Papua New Guinea? Because churches like ours help support them. Because people like you are willing to sacrifice to send them to Papua New Guinea. And see, you sometimes think, well, do I really have to give to missions? May I say this, it's a blessing to give to missions. Especially when you read about people like Brother Childs being able to go into a public school to over 1,200 students and tell them about Jesus Christ. What a blessing. I would encourage you to make sure when the mission letters are up, you read them, because the blessings are yours because you've been willing to sacrifice. How about your faith tried like Joseph's? You remember Joseph? He was one of 12 sons born to Jacob. His mother was Rachel. Do you remember that his 10 brothers loved him so much they sold him into slavery? Then he went down to Egypt. Then he was bought by Potiphar. Do you remember the story? And how that Potiphar was a person of great importance, and he gave Joseph a lot of responsibility, and as the years went by, he gave him more and more responsibility. And then one day, Mrs. Potiphar came to Joseph and said, hey, everybody's out of the house, why don't we go over to my bedroom? And he said, no. And she kept tempting him, day after day, wanting him. You know, in today's society, they say, hey, if it feels good and nobody's going to be hurt, go ahead and do it. What did Joseph say? He said, how can I do this great sin against God? How can I do this great sin against God? He was tempted to do wrong, and he didn't do it. Then how about Daniel? He was tried by evil workers who were jealous of him. There are going to be those who are jealous because you have a faith. They're going to tease you because you trust the Lord. They're going to mock you because you don't do what they do, but remain strong for the Lord. Why? Because like silver and gold, it becomes more precious, and that it might bring honor and glory when we stand before our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And he'll be able to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Shall we stand together? Have you accepted that unspeakable gift that Jesus has offered? And as we think of the unspeakable words that describes our future home of the believer, it's marvelous. And the unspeakable joy of living for the Lord, no matter what comes our way, what trial comes our way. Do you have these in your life today? Dear Heavenly Father, as we have this invitation time, we ask, Lord, that you would bless, touch hearts. Lord, give peace. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.